All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, we are going to, as you know, we're kind of expanding, and corporate wants us to kind of diversify and get into other markets.
Okay, yeah, I totally understand. We've been going for a while.
Yeah.
Sharks, if they don't swim, they die.
Yes, just Annie Hall. If she doesn't break up with Woody Allen, she dies.
Yeah.
It's the same basic principle. We're primarily an American show. I think that's fair to say. Like, we use American cultural touchstones and stuff, but
Yeah.
we're gonna expand into other countries. And so I've got this list from corporate of different kind of ways that we can make ourselves more friendly to other countries. And we're gonna kind of go through them here. And and then I figured just kind of pick a game. We would choose the most representative and popular game from whatever country that is.
Okay. Yeah.
No. So let me just kind of like go down. So our neighbors to the north here.
That seems like a logical next step.
Absolutely. Canada, I love it. Canadian indie rock music is better than American indie rock music,
Yeah,
by and large.
Canadian comedy is really good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't Canadian games be good?
Yeah.
So there's this little subnote here about French Canada. Everything has to be translated.
It's like
Everything has to be French.
it's its own little thing, yeah.
Yeah, so let me see. La souffrance abjecte. That's abject suffering in France,
Oh, nice.
mispronounced.
Yeah. No, and
Yeah.
I like how much English you put on that French.
Abjecte. I did a real real like a real like Spanish bullfighter
Object.
pronunciation. Abjecte. Yeah, so let me flip to the manual here. You'll just get some page flipping sound effects. That's easy. And then look at the most popular game there, and we'll do that to make sure we appeal to them, because we need to be solemn and respectful to their culture and their fuckboys. Zambatatos.
Oh, is that like a local cuisine?
No, it looks like a game. And here, let me
Oh, no,
see.
it doesn't. Gary, this doesn't look like a game.
It doesn't look like a game, and it's headed up by a couple of fuckboys. It's actually just one fuckboy. Well, did you know that this is just one guy who's responsible for this bullshit?
Yes, I do.
Sacre bleu!
Oh no.
I am Gary Butterfield,
I'm Cole Ross.
and this is Abject Suffering, the show where Sirg fucks us over
Oh my God, what have you done,
real good.
Sirg?
Yeah, this is no good, my friend.
What did we
Isn't
do to you?
his play clock on this is something like 15 hours, right?
6 hours.
6 hours.
Yeah, so to give you a little bit of perspective, I got to credits twice on this in 21 minutes.
Yes. I stopped and watched someone play through online.
How would that be any different than actually playing in the game?
They knew the right answers, so they didn't have to start the chapter over
Oh,
every time they got the wrong
with that
answer.
horrible narration? So this is a game that is available on Steam for $2, but you should really just watch it on YouTube because you do not want to give these people money.
Yeah, please don't give these guys money. And back when Greenlight was like a thing, as maybe still is, I couldn't find it on my Steam app. I only found it on the Steam website.
Yeah.
Go and downvote all these guys' games.
Right, because they so I'm normally oh, this is against the sacredness of the Steam platform. Like whenever somebody complains about Greenlight, usually it is from the angle of, oh, Depressing Quest shouldn't be on this because it's not a game. Usually anything on Steam's social network is used to harass developers. Okay, so I was
Yes.
skeptical, thinking, okay, well maybe this is just a bunch of kids having fun, and there's a little bit of that here. But no, there's
There's a
something more
lot to unpack
insidious going
here.
here.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack. Like,
Yeah.
this is complicated. This is going to be like a half-hour documentary about BMC Studio. Like,
Again,
how do you like Ken
just
Burns' BMC Studio?
time was when you wanted a game on Steam, Valve had to pick
Yeah. But no longer. It was the Wild West. You could be racist shithead meme lords. And,
so this was demanded by Serg, our friend from the Slack, somebody who has done a very good job of kind of introducing us to bad current PC games, like just the dregs of like indie. Right.
It's totally his thing.
Yes.
Like in general, right? Like this is his bread and butter. And he, in general, has very unpopular video game opinions and likes a lot of really terrible games. And it's kind of his brand.
Right.
You know, so like, you know, those are his words, not mine. Like, mm-hmm. I think it is insane to think Lords of the Fallen is better than any Dark Souls game. But like, that's kind of his thing. He's leans into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it makes him happy. So he demanded this, but also he suggested this a long time ago, by which I mean about a year ago or something, saying, I feel like I need to start giving things that are shitty. I need to start giving things that are shitty right out of the gate, not do this whole slow buildup thing. So here's attempt number one at that. Yeah, no, you definitely...
You did it.
Yeah, you did it. You sprung it on us. Yay. And then a while back, he said, I had to play this, so now you do too. Formerly known as The Moonwalking Dead before someone went lawsuits.
I think the idea behind this to me is that like, or one of the, not the idea, but like one of the reasons why we might not have been excited about this, just seeing it, is that it looks, you know, the title doesn't tell us really what it is.
No, Zombotatoes. It just sounds literally random monkey cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kept pronouncing it Zombotatoes.
Well, so because that's like what it would look like. That's what that is what you would think based on English pronunciation that it would be. But no, it is literally just zombie potatoes or zombie tatoes.
Like it would be. That's what definitely the portmanteau they're going for. It sounds like a portmanteau of like a you know, banditos or something like that to me. Like I was this is going to be like the, you know, the cool, like the zombie riders. You know, it's not that.
No,
it is what it is. So BMC Studio, when you fire it up, it starts with this, intro thing for their quote unquote studio. It's just a guy named Elaine, mm-hmm. you know, and don't, you know, go harass this guy or anything. Like, I'm not talking shit about this guy as a person, but
he's got a Twitter account that is mostly just, talking about these games. His last name is never given anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to be impossible not to talk about the appearances of these people because they put themselves front and center. And their performances and General Steez are just repugnant.
Cool. Can I break your heart just a little bit?
Okay.
I went back through Elaine's, you know, the Twitter account. January 27th, guess what I got in the mail?
And an R-Zone. He got an R-Zone. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't like having that in common with this kid.
No, it's like the orb thing.
Yeah, like, should we talk about the orb? I love is being taken away from me.
should we talk about the orb? Because people have reached out, and this is the first episode we recorded after that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the second most tragic thing to happen to me this year.
So because everything now is terrible and it happened so quickly, you may have forgotten that our current president has gone over to Saudi Arabia and generally, you know, bumbled around and made a fool of himself.
Yeah, like didn't shit his pants and got called presidential by pundits.
Yeah. Today is that he became president, but there was a photograph that came out over the weekend of him and I assume a couple of Saudi princes. I don't know who the other people are. Sorry. All putting their hands on what appears to be a glowing pink or purple orb.
It's definitely an orb. I think there's no appearing. It is an orb.
Well, it's a globe that is lit up. I think saying, oh, it is the unifying light of peace, but because of the way the camera is shooting, it is an orb. It is like, it's a crystal ball.
Yes.
It first came to my attention. I saw a tweet from John Hodgman saying, "Attention, Alex Jones."
Yeah, it's been a comedy for a lot of people. It's been a really fun thing to have happen.
Oh, yes.
And it is a comedy thing for them. For me, I greatly dislike this association now that the word orb, which is like by no means like my, you know, my
personal pet thing. It's like, totally been a thing since like 2012.
Yeah. Lots of people like orbs. Right.
Right.
But now every time I talk about orbs. Like this is the premier orb image. Like now it is one of the worst people to ever be is now associated with orbs more than me, you know, more than I ever will be.
Right.
You know, and that breaks my heart.
Yeah. You're jealous. And like, I'm jealous. Not in like a petty way, but like it is literally, he has taken something from you.
He has taken
something from me too. Like you do not have a monopoly on orbs. And I was going to come into this saying like, oh, he hasn't tainted this. Orbs have always been used by unsavory characters in the past. Right. But no, this is an actual real life monster and villain.
Yeah, this isn't like a fun necromancer from a comic or something.
Right.
This is literally the cruel moron that is ruining lives on a day, you know, on the daily.
My only hope is that people will forget, because literally everything is forgotten and forgettable. Like, this is the funny, like, this is the funny big thing, because we are just 2 days out from that photo being published, yeah. But it's not going to hold.
My only hope was that the orb retaliates with a flesh rotting virus and kills him. And he gives it to his administration. They all die. So that's my only hope.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to shoot slightly higher and hope that the orb actually comes back and, like, you know,
that the orb will act for justice.
Do your fucking duty, orb. Like, you had one job, you know, curse him, make him fart bones, but they make them be like, every time he farts bones, like, Steve Bannon collapses a little bit. And instead of just like looking like one of those like cartoon of hot water,
instead
you know?
Of just looking like he has collapsed.
Yeah. Instead of just looking like a deflated man, yeah. Actually make him a deflated man. And as he kind of like sluices forward, mm-hmm. you know, like Haster on the beach, like just, you know, somebody just put him out of his misery. Like,
yeah.
Man, fuck all these people. So bad. Yeah. They're extremely bad. These people are less bad than that. So I guess, you know, that seems like a non sequitur, but it's worth putting real evil in context. Like, it's worth putting real evil in context with these fuckboys.
Right.
So they're also not like Gamergate fuckboys either. It is a crime of taste that we're dealing with.
Yes, it most definitely is. So yeah, like, you look back at his Twitter. I saw the R Zone as well. I also saw him tweet something like, oh gosh, it's like, you say he's not your president, but he is, or something like totally.
Yeah.
It's something that seemed a little Trumpy. It's a little bit, unsure.
Well, because he's a meme kid.
Yeah.
Like he's like a little shitty meme lord, you know? So like that's what it is, but he's not good at it. Like, he's not funny.
No. See, something that's kind of changed about us, you know, we've definitely softened up toward memes. But there's a stripe. There's definitely a stripe. And I think if you think that even just mentioning Gabe Newell is a meme, then maybe we're not going to get along about memes.
Yeah, maybe you should go be quiet because adults are talking. Like, yeah. I like legit feel like it's just like you're in the big leagues, kid. You know, like you're trying to do funny shit. And you have to be judged on those terms.
But yeah, but this is one kid working primarily in some really basic software, making what he calls full motion video games, but what are actually just him and his friends dicking around with a camcorder.
And with Choose Your Own Adventure, kind of. So it's like there's two chapters to this game, which is already weird. The first chapter is kind of like an adventure game. Kind of like a point and click adventure game. It's mostly just dicking around, but
with three screens.
With three screens, yeah. Like there's no puzzles or anything. You just have to go do things in general. But it's got a little bit of like that the manhole appeal, like, oh, you can go on his computer and check out his dumb things, and you can play a little like fake game of a platformer.
Yeah. All of the interfaces are done in MS Paint.
Of course, because you know, effort, you know, like if you can't make something look as best as you can, you have to make it look like as shitty so you can step away from it and say you don't care. So and then the second chapter is this like choose your own adventure where there are no branching paths. There's just endings.
Right.
So it's just an arbitrary like choose, you know, whether you do the right path and go forward or choose the wrong path and end and have to start the chapter over.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's about 20 minutes long. It's really bad.
It is like extremely bad.
It's something. Like, it's very hard. So these kids are like French Canadian. They are the gangliest fucking teens. Like, I don't like teens anymore.
No.
Like, you ruined teens.
Teens have always been. I didn't even like teens when I was one and when I primarily associated with them. I think you're finally coming around to the correct opinion.
Well, like, I, you know, at some point you get kind of, I got kind of an affection for teens. Like, I would walk down the street and there'd be some gangly teen and I'd be like, you know, in kind of like a mountain goats kind of way.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
That guy's odious, but also like he's trying.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had that kind of feeling, but now I feel like teens are ruined. And now teens are over.
Yeah. So, you know? So our two principal players. Well, should we give a broad overview of the plot?
It's so hard to know where to start. I have like 8 tabs open with things I want to talk about with Zombotatoes. Yes, let's give a brief overview of the story and our two leads of our story.
Yeah. So what's happening is our main character, played by I think Alan, the character, the guy from the studio, he is watching a trailer for the game that this was originally supposed to be, The Moonwalking Dead, and thinking, huh, I should Google and see if zombie apocalypses could actually be real. He sees a YouTube video. Oh no, zombie apocalypse is happening. And then he calls his friend and they have to try and solve it. Now the thing is, this
I know that sounds cool.
The thing is, the zombies are a result of Valve actually releasing Half-Life 3 and all of the PC master race, the hardcore PC gamers, played it so long that they turned into zombies, and now our last two sane people are casual player, who is Alan himself, and his friend, I think
Jack,
yeah. Who I think is supposed to be the PC Master Race player, who also carries around
a gun.
Okay,
the handsome one. So the keep them separated. Yeah. There's the awkward looking one and then the handsome one. It's
not, but he's got this like incredibly long, right? It looks like John Romero is what he looks like.
Yeah, hot. Yeah. It's like what if just Robert Ashley's body shrank, but his head stayed the same. That's what he looks like.
Yeah. And they decide to solve this problem, which mostly involves running around outside their school with a realistic
shooting things off camera.
Yeah.
If you thought there'd be zombies in this game,
no, there are
you
not.
Are wrong.
There are not even zombie sounds. And there's not really any acting, even though they are standing in front of a camera doing things. It is mostly them saying things in their inscrutable accents, and then laughing and then not doing any kind of takes.
The handsome Jack kid cannot not like have the biggest fucking dopiest grin on his face the entire time.
Yeah.
And I've never, you know, like we're like programmed to like smiles.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
It's just, I hate it.
Yep.
So much. Like his smile, it's not like a cruel smile or anything. It's not like how I hate Trump's smile. I just hate it because I don't want to see him experience joy.
No.
Like it awakens like deep annoyances in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to make fun of how, you know, their accents, because like that's not their fault that they were born in French Canada.
Right. But but they are also saying English scripts when they obviously don't speak the language and there is no inflection and it is impossible to understand what they're
poorly
saying.
Poorly mic'd. It's just this mumbly nonsense.
Yeah.
Like,
so I'm not going to make fun of somebody's accent except when it gets in the way. It's kind of like Tommy Wiseau. Like I will make fun of Tommy Wiseau's accent because that gets in the way of everything in addition to everything else.
Yes. Yeah. So this whole, like, I mean, God, there's so much to fucking unpack here. Like, so this PC master race, like meme thing, right? So like, that's already a shitty, dumb, you know, like I hate that, you know, as a thing, like it is, there is it's making fun of a thing that happens that should never have made anyone feel sensitive enough to respond to a name, you know, like who gives a shit? You know, like it's no different than like, you know, like people, someone just being like, yeah, I'm really into Sony, you know, as a platform. Like I love PlayStation, you know, but it just became this like this meme, but there's nothing, they're not doing anything with it. There's no commentary on it.
No.
It's just like all of the way that these people use memes is just to present them without comment. And even the word meme feels inappropriate here because it's just the words. You know? It's so underbaked.
It's kind of like if somebody ran a Markov chain to create a 3-sentence summary of a game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if you were just like, if you, you know, one of the tags on this is memes,
right? Well, like, that's a whole, like I fell down a little bit of a hole just looking for meme games on Steam. Like that is a thing.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's really rough.
And that is tied into the primary way that these guys make money off of this as well.
Right, which is there's a couple things that they make money off of it. Like it's a weird, this exists, like this is such an artifact of our times, like in a real serious way. Like this is like something that I feel like couldn't have existed in another time in history, because like it's got that weird, you know, meme angle where it's like aware of the medium, of it. Right. It's not like I'm doing something and then like later this would be reclassified as a meme. It's just like meme first. It exists for like to be bad on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it has that guy Goat Simulator kind of like appeal,
right?
Or like what, you know, any number of those games where it's like the idea of it is this is something like people will laugh about because it's so bad. And it has this weird like currency trading card thing aspect.
Right. So you can just get this, let it run. And so the other thing, and this is true of all of their games, including other ones that they're trying to get on Steam Greenlight, if indeed that still exists, is that because of Steam's social network, Valve has decided that, hey, we can monetize like emoji. So if you want to have like an emoticon of a character from a game, you can, you know, put that into your game. And then when people buy it, they can unlock it through this trading card of interface. So what's happening is they're putting these emoji in there that are like, hey, it's the Illuminati symbol, like, you know, the you know, the eye within the pyramid or whatever, or like, hey, this is, I don't know, Neon Cat, I don't know, meme scary.
yeah it's some sort of lengthy cat.
Yes, it is. It is a cat of unusual length.
But they're
putting these up here with minimum effort actually put into the games, almost as a way to just sell shitty images for people to put onto Steam's shitty message boards.
Yeah, which like no one uses. No one really uses those. Like, we don't know anybody who uses the Steam message board.
Well, no,
but like processing. But apparently there are people out there. They're all teenagers in Canada, I guess.
Yeah, you know, or like Gamergate people who directly want to like harass developers.
Which also happens. So that's how like they make their money. So it's this weird, you know, side gig, like side piece thing that has nothing to do with the quality of the games, which already bugs me. Mm-hmm. There's a thing. Did you find the Ook Pixels article?
Yeah, I did, and I was very upset at how upset he was that people would buy the game for $2, play it on YouTube, and then refund it. So that they can make a net profit off of actually refunding the game, because they would make more in YouTube revenue than they would spend.
Yeah. Yeah. Get fucked.
Yeah.
Elaine, like, you know, like you made like a literal, like, this is a bad product.
Yeah.
Anyone can send this back for any reason. I feel like, like, I don't know. This is extremely bad. It wasn't made in good faith. So don't expect people to, that's what I mean. It's like, you didn't make a thing in good faith. Don't you have no expectation of people interacting with in good faith. I was very mad about this interviewer and how
sympathetic he was.
He's sympathetic and like fluffing this teen, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about like, just like, you know, like, yes, it's impressive that he's 16.
Yes.
But that gets less impressive every day. You know, like there are people who do like actual good stuff at that age.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And like, there's possibly an angle that like, hey, here's this kid who, you know, loves the 3DO or the Jaguar or something like that. And like,
and he has the R-Zone in his tweet thing. So like, that adds like, some credence to that too.
There's an angle about that. Like, oh, like it's funny. Like it's funny how shitty this stuff was.
Yeah. You know, and he's like, yeah, I love plumbers don't wear, you know, dead plumbers don't wear ties or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And like, cool. There's a version of you that exists, kid, that I think is good and proper. You did not become that person.
No.
Somehow. So like, there's an alternate universe version that like is the sweet, good natured kid who's trying his best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is just not that though. It's like, it's nothing is in good faith. You know, it's so like, it's so calculating and like weirdly cynical.
Yeah
You know, and it just, it's so low effort, and it's so you know, oh, like if we meant it to be that way for everything, that it just, it's bulletproof in a way that I associate with like, you know, 4chan meme lords and how they like present themselves to things.
Well, there's a Steam review that I should really have like grabbed the username, because they're kind of a hero. Like, the review is just ironic shit posting is still shit posting.
Yeah.
Which is 100% right.
Be careful what you pretend to be. You are what you pretend to be. And the reviews, like, just becomes like a can't win scenario, because the reviews, it has this like, it's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this thing of like, you know, recommended, people just kind of like going along with the joke, saying it's a perfect 10 out of 10. You know, you have to get this to become part of the PC master race, etc. And then people seriously reviewing it, where they're like, oh, you know, the acting is bad, the storyline is dumb, the gameplay is shitty. You know, but then like the response to that is just always going to be like, oh, you just, you know, lol, you know, like Like somebody's not a member of the PC master race.
This member of the master race has achieved a top kek from you, my good sir.
Yeah, it is an infuriating that way of reacting to the world, and also dangerous. Like the way this ties into that, like, you know, Trump shit, like this is what, you know, this is a thing that this influenced the world.
Yeah.
You know, at least to some degree. And, you know, people can argue about how much it did, you know, and people do argue about how much it did. Any amount is too much.
Yes.
Like this should have been this kind of attitude should be relegated to youth and never given a platform. Like,
but everything in the past, let's say 20 years, has moved in the direction toward we need as many people to have this platform as possible, especially the young people. And also, hey, remember all this stuff I said about, hey, everybody's going to forget the orb thing? This is going to be forgotten too.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
for sure. And, like, yeah, you know, 10 years, no one's going to be talking about Zombatitos.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to be talking about it except us when we do our victory lap around the worst of abject suffering.
Yeah, it's not even a good portmanteau.
No,
it's like really it's such not. A bad portmanteau.
Yeah, because
you don't call people who play video games a lot couch potatoes or potatoes.
No, you never like call TV, anybody.
It's already
potato.
A thing.
Yeah.
Like, so what? You know, we've been going. There's still more shit. What out of the things that you did in this, what was the most excruciating? Like, so what's your bottom moment in this? Because I have a very strong contender for it.
So I'm pretty turned off by the fact that the intro song, which was obviously composed by somebody oh my that God. He paid on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Like everything. So this guy's whole modus operandi is to pay people to do stuff for him. You know, on Fiverr or other like gig economy kind of thing. So like he paid the person who composed that song, like the intro to the studio, like that is probably a runner up where it's an ultra sexy babe. BMC. Like that, yeah. Like that kind of thing in the introduction. But that intro plays not just before the game loads up, but also before the first chapter and before the second chapter.
It's so amazing.
The intro
is incredible.
The intro song about these two people and the different ways that they like to play games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very bad.
Yeah. So I think that is the thing that bugged me the most, aside from the fact that you cannot skip the narration about Half-Life 3 at the beginning of chapter 2.
You can't skip anything, actually.
I skipped a lot of video in this.
I kept trying to click through the video, you know, because it would get like you get to the second chapter. Jack digs a gun out of a dumpster or whatever and is just like, you know, says some incomprehensible French Canadian teen shit. And it's like, do you shoot? And here your point of view character keeps changing. And it's like, do you shoot the kid or do you not shoot him?
Yeah, it's like, do you shoot him or not shoot him and show him the glory of the PC master race? They keep on saying that like it's a thing.
Yeah, so you choose to shoot him, and then you have to start over that chapter, and I couldn't skip the him like digging the gun out of the garbage.
Yeah,
thing. So there were definitely videos I couldn't skip. I was never angrier during this than during the like 5 minutes of fake YouTube video about the zombie apocalypse.
Oh yeah, like when
the cartoon old men to old McDonald's on a MIDI loop of like 13 seconds.
Yeah, like showing, oh, like, hey, we're gonna throw in this Harambee joke. Thumbs up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that made me extremely, extremely frustrated because there's no jokes in it.
No,
it's like
no,
there's a crappy joke, but it's like, here's the top five reason it's true. Number one, because I say it's true. Like, it is such a distillation of their like.
Number two, the Illuminati exists. Oh, okay.
Well, go to hell. Like, just literally like get fucked so hard. Yeah, I was so mad during that. You know, because that comes before you get to the second chapter where the game actually gets really bad. When you're in that first part, that's kind of like the shitty manhole, you know, and not that place they closed down on 7th. Like,
of course,
it's actually, you know, like, oh, this is going to be like weird little interactive games and stuff that are bad jokes, but they're just that.
Right.
You know, maybe this will be like not GTA 5, you know, it'll just be bad, you know, bad jokes that don't culturally translate, but aren't offensive, you know?
Yeah.
Not the case.
No. So what was the most excruciating moment for you?
Oh, the YouTube, the fake YouTube.
Oh, the fake
with
YouTube.
The farmer.
Yeah.
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 And it's just like it was so like low effort in a way that I couldn't handle.
Yeah. Well, also like the actual like trailer that he's watching at the beginning of this, the trailer again for The Moonwalking Dead, was impossible to watch because apparently the person who was mimicking a zombie just decided to mimic a mentally handicapped person.
Yes.
Yeah.
So lest anybody feel very like sympathetic to these people and think we're being too hard on them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think these are good teens.
they are not good teens, Bront.
Yeah, these are extremely bad teens.
Yeah.
They're not just annoying.
Right.
Like, they're also just like little teenage shitlords,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are, you know.
Yeah. And like every one of the choices in the second chapter is just, hey, do you want to proceed the plot or do you want the characters to kill each other or themselves?
Yes. You know, because they're so like made up of like, this, you know, this dumb irony shield
mm-hmm.
thing that they have where like, you know, I don't know. It is. I don't think that one actor actually is Elaine. Like, now that I'm looking at them, I think that this is one of his friends.
Oh, wow. They look,
it looks a little bit like him, but they have a different face.
They looked pretty similar. And so this actually also lines up with something else, which is there was a tweet kind of like of Elaine kind of indemnifying herself, saying, just to make it clear, Elaine equals BMC. All of the actors don't do anything about the games or the script. Most of them don't even understand English.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Good job. Print it. There's on Metacritic, there's one user review that they gave themselves. BMC Studio. That's a 10 out of 10 honest review. And it's just the words LOL over and over and over. Mm-hmm. 'Cause again, that's what we're kind of like dealing with.
Yeah.
There is, if you want to, I haven't watched this. There's a YouTube channel. This guy named Lord Croco Squirrel has this, I mean, maybe it's a series, but it's like Review the Developer, BMC Studio. It is what looks to be a 2-hour critique of this guy's videos, of this guy, these guys' games.
What?
Yep. 2 hours. Review the studio, BMC Studio.
That doesn't seem like it would actually bear out, does it?
Or, well, he has this like, it is a series. He has like Review the Developer.
Okay.
And, you know, and a lot of them are actual like developers, and some of them are just like green light shit, you know, because doing bad green light games is a thing.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are bad green light stuff. So there's a lot of stuff with Digital Homicide,
which is
the famous YouTube developer that sued Jim Sterling and got smacked down in court. And it's great.
Yeah. That studio whose name I forgot that you just said, what was it?
Digital Homicide.
Yeah, Digital Homicide. They have worked with BMC in the past.
Of course.
They've reached out and talked with each other.
Cool. This guy, this Lord Croco Squirrel. So, you know, we thought it was crazy that there's a 2-hour review of the studio on BMC Studios.
Yes.
I want you to give a guess, and without looking it up, please.
Okay.
How many hours they have devoted to Digital Homicide?
I'm going to say 3.5.
Let me count them up real quick.
So there are multiple parts.
Yep.
Okay.
Would you believe 12?
Okay. At a certain point,
to make sure that's correct.
At a certain point.
Yeah. Who's really, you know?
Yeah. Let me review the YouTuber here.
Yeah, it's about 12, give or take about, you know, a half hour.
Right. Right.
12 hours. So and like yeah. If that's your metric on that scale, 12 hours for Digital Homicide, 2 hours for BMC seems about right.
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Greenlight, like apparently cut off, these guys don't have a way to like get their shit out there now, you know, unless they decide to flee to Itch or something like that. But like this
Itch would not have them.
No. But like this seems so linked to just kind of like this weird Steam ethos of like, plugging into the social network side of that. It really is pretty dismaying. This brought my attention to a site called the Bad Games Wiki,
I found that as well,
which is on Fandom, so it's pretty incomplete.
Yeah, and it's impossible to navigate and, you know, a number of things.
Yeah. This was written by somebody who felt the need across two different articles about these guys to mention three times the fact that they made a tasteless joke about 9/11.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yep, that is the problem. Yep.
So and that is a problem. Like, I'm just saying that, like, I wouldn't say it three times. This can get fucked so many ways.
It really and honestly can. Like, it's, I don't normally say this, it's not a game. It's not. And the weird ethic that it comes from, it has this kind of, I think, terminal lack of sincerity that is simultaneously, hey, I want to stand behind this, I'll put it out there, but I will definitely not, it definitely doesn't represent anything about me.
Yeah. It is such a good distillation of an attitude that I find not only, you know, contrary to my own beliefs, but also harmful.
Yeah,
it is. I think we're both on the same page with that.
Yeah, it's really detrimental, I think, to just everything in general. And obviously it's something that people grow out of, and I'm totally fine if somebody listening to this would say, oh, this is just two old men yelling at clouds, you know?
Yeah, but you need to find, if anyone's listening to this and they're like, you know, you guys are just off your case, and this is like what works for you. Like there are a lot of, part of the reason this sucks is that if you want to engage in this kind of like shitty meme culture, mm-hmm. there's so many better versions of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is very, very low, even within a terrible, terrible ecosystem. You know, this is the worst on its own standards, not even the worst cosmically. Yeah. Like there's Gabe Newell jokes that are like have jokes.
Mm-hmm.
At least let there be a joke. Like, why aren't your standards? There has to be a joke for something to be a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like it literally has to have a punchline and be about something. Like, you can do better than that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's and so like, you know, when I enjoy a meme, I like it because it takes two disparate things and synthesizes them. Right. Like, I enjoy like a really kind of astutely put together mashup, you know, like mm-hmm. whenever you see, you know, a photoshopped image of, you know, something from a show with a smaller version of something from that show, and it's the "Don't Talk to Me or My Son Again," and then it's mixed in with a Simpson shitpost, or it's mixed in, you know, with just any number of, like, I guess what I'm looking for is effort, which I know I shouldn't. Yeah. I really ought not, you know, to look for effort, but like, you know, if you're not going to be clever, at least impress me with how much you put into it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll go further than that. Be clever.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want my attention, like, be clever. You know, I don't know. Like, it's like those things you're talking about that are like those versions of those Simpson shitposts. Like, there's a cleverness there. There's usually a seed, right? Like, it's not just, because otherwise you end up with, like, what if the Simpsons were dressed up as X-Men? Like, mm-hmm. you end up with legit just mashup culture, which is not clever. Yeah.
No, that's definitely not the...
You know, there's at least something there. Yeah. You know, and even if that thing is, it's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is not surprising. You know, there's an Angry Birds parody on it. Like, it's all the most rote shit.
Yeah, there's nothing additive about any of this, right? It doesn't actually mm-hmm. Bring anything to what they are, you know, to what they're just copying and pasting.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's ridiculous because this hasn't been a very funny episode. Like, we have just been taking this down. So I feel like I'm kind of on a bad foot here. Saying like, hey, be funnier, be clever, be more clever. But this feels like a national emergency. Like, I had no idea that this existed, and now I feel like it needs to be fixed.
Well, we're not trying to, like, we contain multitudes, Cole. Like, we're, you know, the show is not just like, the point of this is not just to be funny, and now this is a failure of being funny.
Right. Yeah.
Like, the point that we've created a format that allows us to do a lot of things.
That's true.
You know, so this is not a failure, I don't think, of this show.
I wasn't even thinking it was a failure. I wasn't even saying it's a failure. It's just kind of like, hey, you know, if we're going to make fun of them for that, we should probably, I don't know, it would feel better if we could do it in a funny way. But I'm just genuinely kind of off balance here.
Yeah, I'm mad. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not I don't feel like there's really fun to be had in this. It's very similar to the gender bender twist extreme thing, which is like, I'd be curious if when like Sarah like plays this, if he thinks they're funny, or if he just, I think he, cause we were talking with him about it last night,
mm-hmm.
and we were all just like, mad about it. Right.
Yeah,
like it was just a real group mad on kind of thing. And I wonder if he thinks it's funny, or if he just like, it's just how shitty it is and being in awe of it and getting kind of like cathartically angry.
So he admitted that this was cruel. Like you said, that was probably uncalled for what I did, because something like I'll sometimes do, because I don't like to announce what episodes are coming out because we like to be flexible and, you know, anything can change. But I just went into Abject Suffering, went into that channel on our Slack, and I was like, man, we've got a real doozy coming up. And then it came out. I was like, hey, here's this. Serg admitted that this was cruel. About Gender Bender, though, he said like, hey, at least with that, I was laughing through to the end.
Yeah. And we didn't laugh at that. I barely laughed at that. Like when I found out some of the things that happened in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it was like, it was kind of funny, but that was also too much about a serious thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, this not having that, you know, social kind of thing, like put up into it, I don't know.
I think it does have the social thing. And I think that's why that episode and this episode are both.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were not laugh a minute because they both are about something like actually distasteful.
That felt much more insensitive and kind of like profound in a way than this one does to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that this is a more insidious thing. You know, I'm not saying this is a worse problem than like, you know, shitty transphobia. And I'm not saying it's a worse like kind of topic to like than people just choosing, you know, to masturbate to, you know, like make their fetish games, you know, that for them to masturbate about. I'm not saying like necessarily that.
Yeah.
But it is about an insidious real thing that actually bothers me.
Yeah, this is definitely common and prevalent, and like it is a real factor in the world going forward. Yeah. No, I can see that too. Yeah. No, this is this is the pits, man.
Yeah, this is a real bummer. Yeah. This isn't something like when we were talking about it on Slack, Brian was like, "Is it bad enough to come up with a new rule?" And I think what he's referencing was like the, you know, educational game kind of rule,
right?
And I think that those rules are just if it makes like, oh, we won't have anything to talk about. So we have something to talk about, but there is kind of like we couldn't do these time and time again. We couldn't do like the summer of BMC for this show.
No, like in a way that we could do like what's the guy who made the U Testament?
I can't remember.
But like that developer. Yeah,
that would be, we could do that because that is not I don't hate it as much.
Right,
like I hate this.
Yeah,
you know, and it just and it just represents so much of what I actually find to be odious and gross and crazy.
Gary, you mad, bro? You mad,
man? Yeah, we this is a long episode already. I cannot handle that, like that perspective. You know,
that's fine. If you're mad, you can be mad. Yeah, I just want to know if you're mad. Okay.
Yeah, I actually, yes.
Okay.
You know,
no, it's fine. Yeah. Now that we know that you're mad, it's okay. Cool.
How do those people react if somebody just says yes? Like, yeah, I'm really mad. You're really annoying.
No, they just send you a rage face.
Yeah. Yeah, this is you. Yeah, no, I'm actually pretty pissed. Like, you're being a real dickhead and you're worthless. Like, you seem bad. Like, you seem like a bad person. Like, you know, it does make me mad that you're around and you're doing this. Like, and then just like rage face and then just the end of it because they're the worst and I'm glad Pepe's dead. Anywho, so go fuck yourself, Sarah.
we haven't said that in a while. Like I think we didn't make a conscious decision, but I think around the time people started you know, paying to have episodes done, we're just kind of like, oh, it doesn't make sense. Like they've given us a lot of money. But this is repugnant, and I'm happy to know that it exists at the same time that I am incredibly dismayed that it exists.
Yeah. I'm glad we did the episode because it is, you know, I'd rather do this than like the peppy Nazi platformer, you know, that like would have covered the same material.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we weren't going to do like the Columbine RPG or something like that. Is the other edgy, shitty shitlord.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. yeah. So thank you. If you like this, we'll go back to being funny. I promise.
Gary, let's not overpromise and underdeliver.
Well, let's stay serious. Let's just not do it. Like, let's stick with our examination of internet culture from two middle-aged men. But thank you for listening. If you like the show, you can support it and get bonus episodes of the show by becoming patrons at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah, we're going to be making some announcements around the time this comes out. This comes out in early June, Gary. But we're making some changes to the Patreon. One of the first of those that's going to take effect. If you like this show, you can back the $5 level and get two bonus episodes per month of Abject Suffering.
Yeah.
In an initiative that we are calling Abject Saturation.
Yes. Yeah, we're pushing it to the limits, baby.
So previously at $5, you got one. Now you get two.
And if you know, if you're thinking like, hey, that's too much, we put the call out there and most people wanted more. But if you don't want it, you don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You can not listen. It's not mandatory listening.
Yep.
So you got that going for you.
There will still be one episode of this show a week And you can come to those in your in good time if you so choose.
Yeah, and if you're having a bad day or if you want to jump on more, you always can.
Yeah.
I think that's probably about it. Ratings, reviews, telling people things like that is all very useful. Other than that, boy, who is Sakura the Blue Dog?
There we go.
No.